Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Great to have you, JT, in for Jim Rome. Last show of the week for me. Thanks to all the clones, the XR4TI, everybody who put this week together for me in Southern California. On a big day today, the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Big show today. John Paul Morosi will join us next hour, the great MLB insider, on the effects of the MLB trade deadline yesterday. Also, Frank Schwab's going to join us to cover the NFL. We'll have him here in about 20 minutes. And my long-term friend, my happy chatter companion, the great Tom Looney, who I've hosted radio with for over 14 years, is going to jump in studio. A lot of the clones and fans have been calling for him over the last couple of days, so we'll have him. It's on TV. He's going to be here. If it was just on radio, he would be calling in, but it's on TV, so Looney will stop by a little bit later on in the show. Right when we ended yesterday, literally 5 minutes, I was in the production room with the XR4TI, and the Greinke deal went down as Zach Greinke goes from the Diamondbacks to the Astros. And that was a blockbuster deal. That was the deal that everybody was waiting for. It was either Madison Bumgarner, maybe going to the Yankees, possibly the Braves or the Astros, and then Zach Greinke. The thing about Zach Greinke is that contract is a monster. $35 million a year he's owed the next 2 years. So as a Yankee fan, and you'll hear the Yankee bitterness come out of me momentarily, Greinke had a no-trade clause. He didn't want to go to the Yankees, and Yankee fans don't want him. And at $35 million with all the other guys that the Yankees are paying for, like Ellsbury and Stanton, who's been a bust, and all the guys making over $30 million, I think it was smart that the Yankees clearly wouldn't go after him because he wouldn't go there. But where was Madison Bumgarner after that deal went down? So I got to give a lot of credit to the Astros because the Astros are all in it to win. They are now the clear favorites out of Vegas and around Major League Baseball to win the World Series. And that's what I like in sports. I like when you're the favorite and it's Super Bowl or World Series or bust. Because a lot of teams, especially in the NFL, they're all playing for second. We know this year that Tom Brady is going to win his division by 3 games. He's going to get a bye week. Then he might get a home bye week with a home game, and then he'll have to win 1 game to get to the Super Bowl. So we all know that. We see the Vegas odds. We know they're a dynasty. But in baseball, it kind of is wide open. Because in baseball, especially in the new era that we're in now, with the shift, all the strikeouts, the balls flying out of the ballpark, we don't know anything. We don't know who's going to get hot at the right time. So over the last week, a lot of fans wanted their teams to stay in it and not sell. And the San Francisco Giants followed that trend. They decided that they weren't going to give up Madison Bumgarner because the Giants played so well in June into July in the wild card race, even though they have no chance to catch the Dodgers. I like that. Those fans in San Francisco in Bruce Bochy's last season have watched 3 recent World Series. They should never be selling because it's a massive media market and they have the opportunity to do great things. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. If they do, I don't think they're going to win in the playoffs, but they give those fans a reason to pack one of the best ballparks we've ever seen up in San Francisco. So the Giants do that. But for the Astros, what does this mean? You get a guy like Greinke now who is a dominant pitcher throughout his career to go along with Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. That's a 1-2-3 punch. Would you put that punch up against the Braves of the 90s when the Braves had 3 aces going with Smoltz? And especially, you look at how deep they were in their bullpen, their setup guys. But overall, that was just a loaded pitching staff. With Maddux, they were able to throw anybody at you anytime and with Glavine dominate you. But how many World Series did they win? They won one. So what happened was everybody was worried about running into the Braves in the postseason because they had such a great pitching staff and they literally got nothing out of it. Not that they choked. They ran into some really good teams. They lost a World Series to the Yankees, but they didn't produce in the postseason the way the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw hasn't produced in the postseason. So Greinke goes to an Astros team that clearly solidifies them as the best rotation in all of baseball. So what they should do now is easily cruise into the playoffs, easily be at home and in the first round of the playoffs, throw those guys in any order, 1, 2, 3, and quickly get out of the first round. But what happens if the Astros face the Yankees in the American League Championship Series and the Yankees get right and the Yankees get healthy and they get Giancarlo Stanton back and Judge and Sanchez and the rest of that lineup is hitting and peaking at the right time? I can promise you as a Yankee fan on the radio, the Yankees have no fear at all of Zach Greinke. You put that guy out in the Bronx or you pitch him in Houston and murderer's row for the Yankees will come right after him. He's not going to blow it by anybody. He doesn't have a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He's a great pitcher, regular season throughout his career with a Cy Young Award winner. But that didn't do anything for the Astros when it comes to the matchup with the Yankees. Does everything for the Astros the rest of the season and how they peak going into it and probably get to the American League Championship Series. Staying with the Astros for a second, how did the Astros get here? In 2011, they started to tank on purpose. One of the things that frustrates me more than anything in sports is tanking and cheating. I think it's the same thing. You can call it cheating or tanking. When teams lose on purpose, we saw that with the process with the Philadelphia 76ers, losing year after year in a row on purpose to get ping pong balls and hopefully get good draft picks. How'd that work out? Well, it's worked out good for them now because look, they look like they're poised to win a championship at some point over the next couple of years if they can get through the Battle of L.A. But the Astros in 2011 were 56-106. In 2012, 55-107. 2013, 51-111. The reason they got all those great players and all those great draft picks is they were the worst team in baseball for 3 years in a row, one of the worst of all time. And then in 2015, they went to the wild card with 86 wins. In 2017, they won the division with 101 and won the World Series. And last year, they won 103 games and won the division. So I'll throw this out as we open up the show, 800-636-8686. Were the tanking Astros the model for all the other teams going forward that have never won one World Series? They include the Texas Rangers, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Padres, the Nationals, the Mariners, the Rockies, and the Rays. Think of that for a second, because I wouldn't support tanking on any level, but it's working well. And if the Astros can win two World Series in 3 years, after that tank job earlier in the decade, will that be the model for all the sabermetric guys and the GMs around the league to try to do the same thing that the Astros are doing? And Houston, welcome to the club of overspenders. I don't want to ever hear from a Houston fan ever again who talks about a budget. Houston now joins the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and the Cubs as out-of-control spenders who will do anything at any time to buy a championship or put themselves in the position to win. You got to do that. The Astros were able to do it yesterday. So I want to hear from you on the trade deadline. The Braves getting Shane Green, I thought were real. That was a big move. The Cubs got Nick Castellanos. They got a nice bat, a guy who leads the league in doubles, a really good bat. And then I think there were some couple of good moves in regards to bullpens that were able to pick it up and do a really nice job. I thought the Braves quietly, by holding on to their great young talent and that unbelievable young lineup and adding all of that relief pitching, I think the Braves are going to be in a really good spot to maybe shock the world. For the Yankees again, here's Brian Cashman on why the Yankees didn't pull the trigger yesterday.
Various reasons it didn't work out. So certainly disappointed. You'd like to have more if you could, but I didn't have any realistic chance to, in my mind, based on the dialogue, to do so.
Brian Cashman hasn't won a championship since 2009. The Yankees are going on 10 years without a ring. And having 27 rings and Cashman being there for the Yankee dynasty with Jeter, Mariano Rivera, and that great team, Cashman realized yesterday that everybody wanted the Yankee stud pitchers and prospects and their young players. And I bet you Cashman thought about it, and he thought about it hard, because by not pulling the trigger yesterday, the Yankees most likely lost the World Series. They can get hot, and if their pitching shows up and Tanaka wakes up and the rest of that starting rotation, because if the Yankees can get to the fifth or sixth inning, they're better than Houston. So if the Yankees get to the top of the sixth or the bottom of the fifth in a 2-2 game, I'll take the Yankee bullpen all the way to Chapman over what the Astros have. But the Astros have great frontline pitching, and the Yankees can't get to the third or fourth inning without giving up six or seven runs. So yesterday, the other big move was the Dodgers. They didn't add much. They didn't do anything. As I'm sitting in Southern California today, I know there's a lot of Dodger fans who are upset. And this is a team that's gone a back-to-back World Series and didn't win. What kind of message is this to the fans, the season ticket holders at Chavez Ravine, who have watched this team sell out that ballpark, and yesterday the Dodgers couldn't pull the trigger and get maybe another big-time setup man, an eight-inning guy to set up Jansen? I was surprised by that. But again, the Dodgers feel like they're good enough to stand pat. And that's one of the things I wanted to wrap up here as we kick off the show when it comes to baseball. I'm a believer that you should be able to put your team together and leave it alone. If you're the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, you have a world championship roster, the Astros, coming out of spring training. You really don't need much more. But yesterday, the Astros said, we are going to slam the door on all of baseball. We are now the world champions if we don't screw it up. Yesterday was a big day for Houston. We want to hear from some Astro fans, 800-636-8686. We'll get to the NFL. Coming up next, it's the Canton, Ohio Hall of Fame game. It counts as game zero. Doesn't even count in the preseason. We'll talk to one of the best in the business, Yahoo's Frank Schwab, about tonight's Hall of Fame game between the Broncos and the Falcons. And which quarterbacks does he think will sit out the entire preseason?
Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now and have that battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or your truck, and you'll get it at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
JT the Brick back with you in for Jim Rome. 800-636-8686. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time talking about quarterbacks. I put together my list of the league, the future Hall of Famers, the young guns, and everybody did a great job on Twitter getting back to me on it. Today, we want to talk about your specific quarterback and how much you want to see him play in the preseason. Do you want to see him at all? If they're a little bit banged up, no, obviously. But what about a guy like Eli Manning in his final year? Joe Flacco, who's not playing tonight but's never played in this system with these players in Denver. And especially if you're a season ticket holder and have to buy these garbage preseason games, which I'm a part of. I'm on the sideline for them. They cost a lot of money for fans. When you go to a preseason game, do you want to see your starting quarterback at least for a quarter, or would you like to shut them down? 800-636-8686. Frank Schwab, kind enough to join us, the great NFL insider and reporter for Yahoo. Frank, let's jump in on what you're hearing first off on Jerry Jones and his level of frustration with Zeke Elliott and the fact that he's got to pay his three stars. What are you hearing?
And it's funny that, you know, the one thing that Ezekiel Elliott could do to kind of make everybody mad was, hey, I'm going to Cabo for a while. Peace. I'll see you guys. So there seems to be some posturing on both sides. Jerry came out this week and very publicly said, look, we don't need rushing champions to win a Super Bowl, which is kind of curious because he drafted Ezekiel Elliott fourth overall. But hey, whatever. That's Jerry. I just think that, you know, he's a great businessman. He really is. And I think that there's a lot of negotiation going on. Remember a few years ago, Dez Bryant, he was holding out without the franchise tag, and everybody said there's no way this deal's going to get done. The two sides are so acrimonious towards each other, and then all of a sudden Dez Bryant signs and everybody's smiling at a press conference. Hey, look, Jerry wants to pay these guys. He's never met a star he didn't want to keep around and pay. That's not his style. So I think he's going to try to pay all these guys, but I think Amari Cooper makes the most sense right now because kind of the market is set after Michael Thomas. Dak's tough because he's a quarterback, and then Zeke is kind of left holding the bag a little bit. I don't know what happens here because he has to report by August 6th. Like, it would be crazy for him not to, because then he doesn't get his accrued season and free agency gets kicked down the street for another year. I assume Zeke is going to be there August 6th, but he ain't happy, and it's tough to tell your running back who's not happy, hey, run the ball for us 310 more times and we'll figure out your contract after the season. It's tricky.
Yeah, Frank, I think what's interesting about the Cowboys going forward is we know that what these position players are slotted for. We know what running backs and wide receivers and quarterbacks make. But Jerry's been generous to his players throughout his reign, winning his three Super Bowls. He's going to pay these guys. But that offensive line already got paid. And you look at the defense, that's not a Super Bowl caliber defense. Someone is going to be taking a pay cut over the next couple of years. The rookie players are slotted, but Jerry's running out of time with this group after he pays them to make a run at the Super Bowl. So do you have a sense that there's a sense of urgency in Dallas this year with the way they're going to call plays, how aggressive they're going to be? It looks like a Super Bowl or bust season. And for me,
it really does, because of Dak. I think it all comes down to, hey, when you have that quarterback on his rookie deal, that's the most valuable thing you can have in sports. There's no question about it. And Dak is a good enough quarterback, especially for what he's getting paid. Once he gets $30 million a year, your salary cap math changes a lot. And, you know, we talk about the big three. We talk about Amari, Zeke, and Dak, but they're not all. Lyle Collins wants to get paid, and Jalen Smith wants to get paid, and we're a couple years away from Leighton Vander Esch breaking the bank there because he's a great player. Byron Jones is another guy they want to pay. You just can't pay everybody. Look, I wouldn't pay Zeke. I was being honest. I like Zeke. I think he's a great player. You know, he's won a rushing title twice. He probably would have been three times had he not been suspended. But second contracts for running backs don't work out very well. And if you give me the choice, hey, you can have Byron Jones or Ezekiel Elliott, I probably pick Byron Jones, just because guys like that, they have more value beyond their fifth year. But, you know, you're seeing this with Melvin Gordon, you're seeing this with Ezekiel Elliott. They understand the writing on the wall. They've seen it happen with Le'Veon and other guys where they're saying, look, I want my money now. I don't want you to use me up, spit me out in a free agency. So I don't know really what happens here. It's a tough situation. Jerry, like I said, Jerry wants to pay everybody. You know that. I know that. But you just can't. There's not enough salary cap space to go around, especially when your quarterback's going to be, you know, getting that huge, huge bump. So is there an urgency this year? There should be, yeah, because they can't keep this quarter's good. It's not great, but it is good enough. And if you catch a couple breaks in the playoffs, maybe you make a run, but this quarter ain't going to be around forever because, again, the quarterback, suddenly you're kind of middle-of-the-road quarterback. You're making $30 million a year pretty soon.
Frank Schwab is our guest, Yahoo Sports NFL reporter, insider. I want to move to Andrew Luck. He spoke a lot to the media, too much, about his injury, the calf, and then his ankle, and his ankle isn't right. And it was almost like it was a therapy session in front of the media there. He started talking and he couldn't stop. I didn't think that was a good look for him because it's showing that mentally he's still concerned about the injuries he has. And that's a great team building with a really good offensive line. How concerned are you that Andrew Luck isn't right and it's going to take him the whole preseason and maybe early into the season to get to 100%?
You know, I don't think worried yet, but it's on your radar. When a guy is just having setbacks, the calf, and then I think, crazy enough, the Kevin Durant situation is kind of sitting with everybody. Like, the Colts have admitted they paid attention to the Kevin Durant situation when, you know, yeah, it starts with a calf injury and then all of a sudden blown Achilles and a guy's done. It's scary because, you know, and when you talk about Andrew kind of the therapy session type of press conference he had, I kind of get it. It might not be a great look, but this is a guy who missed the entire season 2 years ago. Probably didn't know if he was ever going to come back the same guy. He did, and that's great. But I think when you've gone through that, you're a little more wary. You know, you understand your vulnerability. You're not indestructible. One injury in this game, and you can miss a year, 2 years, whatever it is. I think that he's concerned. It's a different injury. It's a shoulder, yeah. You know, before, and now it's a calf. But in the back of his mind, I'm sure he's thinking, I don't want to make this thing worse. I know what it's like to sit out a year, and I don't want to have that happen again. I'm not worried yet. We're still a long way away from week one, but any more setbacks, any more of this negative news, any more, hey, it's not getting better. If we're in, you know, mid-late August, yeah, then it's going to start to be a concern.
I want to talk about another potential Super Bowl team. Frank Schwab is our guest from Yahoo, the Chargers. I'm in Southern California, and the talk on the Chargers moving into the Rams Stadium is a big deal. I think they're going to have 20 to 30,000 empty seats unless they just put warm bodies there and give tickets away. If they can win the Super Bowl or go deep into the playoffs, it's only going to help them sell season tickets and PSLs and get in there and do what they have to do long-term. It feels like with Melvin Gordon, they better get a deal done because they're nowhere near the team without him. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. He's a hard runner around the goal line. What do you think the Chargers are thinking as the clock is ticking?
Yeah, I was just going to say I'm surprised to hear there's any talk about the Chargers in L.A. I mean, they seem to be – they are the most anonymous team in – sports right now because nobody wants them. Nobody cares about them. San Diego fans don't root for them anymore. LA fans never wanted them. They're the weird. I have no idea why they relocated. That was just a botched move by the NFL. What are they doing? But I mean, could a Super Bowl help them? Yeah, it probably would just because, hey, everybody loves a winner. I will push back on you saying they're a different team without Melvin Gordon. I like Melvin Gordon. Look, I'm a Wisconsin guy. He's been a guy I've watched through his college career and all that. But running back is a replaceable position, unless you're one of about five guys, you know, Zeke or McCaffrey or Saquon. I don't put him quite in that category. I think they would be just fine with Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson running the ball, and I think the Chargers know that. You heard immediately, hey, we're digging in. And they have. They've stuck by, hey, we're looking at about $10 million a year. He wants about $12, $13 million a year. I think the Chargers are just going to say, okay, we'll wait for you. If you want to sit out all year, you sit out all year, but we're going to be fine with these guys. I don't think Philip Rivers should have said what he said, when he basically said, hey, we're fine with or without Melvin. He shouldn't have said that. You don't talk about a guy's business like that. But I think he's right. I think the Chargers are just fine without Melvin Gordon. And at some point, Melvin's probably going to come in regardless. I think you could play hardball here. I think they could just say, you know, we made you a fair offer. We're not overpaying you because we know the history of running backs, as we just talked about with Zeke. Mm-hmm. I think we're fine just kind of sticking it out and waiting, and I think that team's going to be fine with or without Melvin Gordon. And Melvin's a good player, but I just think the running back position is just such, and they got a couple of good guys, they can afford to kind of call his bluff here.
Frank Schwab's our guest from Yahoo as we wrap it up. Give me a best-case scenario for Eli Manning and the Giants and worst-case scenario for Eli and the Giants.
Boy.
Because this is a massive story in New York every day. The Giants aren't on the same page with Jones as the backup. Eli, how much are we going to see him in the preseason? I just think the Giants are digging a hole with the media every day. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, you asked me like a best case scenario with Eli, and I can't even come up with one.
Yeah.
Honestly, like look, Eli's had a great career. He's a great player. But what realistically are we looking at with the Giants and Eli Manning this year? They ain't going to the playoffs. That's a tough division. They're losing receivers left and right. He doesn't even have anybody to throw to anymore except Evan Ingram and Saquon. Saquon's going to have like 500 touches this year. They just have nobody else. So I wonder, you know, what's the best case scenario for Eli? It's almost like a weird deal where his best case scenario is just kind of a gentle fade into the sunset, where he's not like, you know, 5 touchdowns, 10 interceptions by week 4, and they got to bench him in the middle of a game, and kind of like what happened to his brother with that terrible game he had against Kansas City. I just don't know that it's possible. Daniel Jones is going to play this year at some point. Since the Aaron Rodgers draft year, which was 2005, a long time ago, only 2 first-round rookie quarterbacks have not started a game. Only 2. And they were Jake Locker and Brady Quinn. Didn't help those guys. Daniel Jones is going to play sometime this year, and that's going to be really awkward for the Giants. No matter what happens, Eli's a hero there. He's a king there. But eventually, you got to move on. I just think that the best case for all this is somehow managing this where Eli doesn't get embarrassed, but yet you still move on to the future. And I don't know how they do this. It's a tough dance they have to do, especially with a team that's not going to be very good.
Frank Schwab, last one. I saw your power rankings. Who wins the Super Bowl?
You know what? I have Patriots number 1, but I'm going to be dumb and pick against them. I think it's the Chargers. I really think that this team is loaded. I think that they're ready. I think that this team has guys on offense, defense. I think Derwin James, one of the best players in football already. They're pass rushers. They're pass catchers. I do think Melvin comes in at some point. I'm going to be dumb and pick the Chargers, even though they have no home field advantage, and they always screw things up. Give me the Chargers to win the Super Bowl. Why not? No guts, no glory, right?
Well, Rivers is 0-8 lifetime against Brady. He's got to beat him at some point, right?
Probably, some point, right?
Maybe he gets it at home in front of 27,000. Frank, I really respect your work. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
I appreciate it, man.
You got it. Frank Schwab with his power rankings. I think there's a lot of people who are smart to pick the Chargers this year. This is their window. San Diego, back in the day, had a few windows. They went to a Super Bowl with Stan Humphries. Remember that one? And if you look at this team with Rivers, this is Rivers' moment. This is it. I have him in the Hall of Fame. I have him walking right into the Hall of Fame. No doubt about it. But for him to stamp his legacy, got to get a Super Bowl appearance. And the only way that's going to happen is if he's not playing in a snowstorm, 20 degrees in New England. New England has a distinct advantage over everybody in the AFC West, which includes Kansas City and especially the Chargers, the two bigger teams out there. If those games are played in New England, Kansas City, a cold weather team, can go get it with Mahomes, that type of player. No way Rivers, in the cold weather, in Foxborough, I've seen that movie before, he'll get smashed like a bug again, and New England knows it. So they have to get home field advantage with the Raiders getting better. Joe Flacco, who wins games. You might not be a Flacco fan. He makes that team much better with Von Miller than they've been in the past. And then Kansas City. As I've been saying, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes the next 10 years, he's going to beat you for the next 10 years. But Rivers has got a better roster. That Pro Bowl roster from last year. And I couldn't disagree with Frank Moore. I mean, he's like, hey, throw Zeke Elliott away. We don't need Melvin Gordon. What's going on here? Can you imagine back in the day if they said, we don't need Walter Payton, his contract's coming up. We don't need Emmett, his contract is coming up. We don't need these guys. Are we insane in sports right now to throw away running backs? Jim Brown, friend of the show who lives up here in Beverly Hills on the Hill. Can you imagine he walked away from the game as an MVP at 29 on his own terms because he saw what was happening with his contract and his situation? I cannot believe, with all of these players in the NBA that we went over yesterday making $18 to $20 million a year who have never played or done anything in the postseason, and we're going to throw away Zeke Elliott and Melvin Gordon? Chargers can't win without Melvin Gordon. Fact, not fiction. The Kansas City Chiefs cannot win without Tyreek Hill. Even though I think he's a thug and a bad guy, they need him to win a Super Bowl. And the same thing goes for the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to sign Zeke, but without him, no chance at making the playoffs, no chance at winning the Super Bowl. So those running backs, in my opinion, have some big leverage. Coming up next, which quarterbacks would you allow to play in the preseason? Or do you just want to keep them on the bench until week one? I want to hear from all fans from all over the country on this one because it's important. You're paying to see these guys in the preseason. If they got eliminated on New Year's Eve and aren't playing until September, don't you want to see them get some work in? Who are you sitting and who are you starting? 800-636-8686. Time for a sports update. Here's Andrew Bogish. Great to have you back. The weekend begins with Big Three basketball, followed by PGA Tour coverage of the Wyndham Championships, all on CBS. A big show today. John Paul Morosi joins us next hour. There's no one I'd rather have on today to recap the trade deadline. John Paul Morosi next hour. We'll talk to him about the deals that went down and the deals that didn't happen yesterday. And if you want to call in on baseball, I'd like to hear from the big guns today, the Yankee fans, the Dodger fans out there, Red Sox, the teams that didn't do anything, didn't do much, just stayed pat there and watched the Astros bolster their rotation with Zach Greinke. So we're talking about preseason football. It starts tonight. This game doesn't count. This is worse than a preseason game. The game in Canton, they have this because of the Hall of Fame. This weekend, they put on a show. The Hall of Famers show up at halftime. It's a great event. If you've never been to Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame, I've been there three or four times. It's memorable. A great place to road trip with your buddies if you've never done it before. You don't stick around for the game. You don't have to go to the game. But the experience that whole weekend in Canton, Ohio is second to none. And I like preseason football because the teams that don't make the postseason need the preseason. I'm talking about the teams with three, four, five wins because they got eliminated on New Year's Eve and they haven't played football since. So what makes anybody believe that you can play a football game week one, week two, not get buried in the standings out of the gate 0-2 if you don't have practice games? You need it. Everybody says, well, they're going to take the preseason from four games down to two. The coaches don't want that. The coaches are building a roster. They're trying to take a roster from 90 down to 53, especially the bad teams that drafted a bunch of players and bring in free agents. They need practice outside of the soft practices they had. This isn't like the 60s, 70s, and 80s when there were two-a-days and you were in pads every day and you really practiced. Now these guys are shut down. They have a padded practice. They don't have one for 3 days. They have an off day. They have a walkthrough. They're literally walking in shorts early in the evening going through a walkthrough. That's not a practice. They're there to break down film and talk about the philosophies of that new team. So when it comes to quarterbacks, I want to see them play. And we were talking about it with the XR4TI, the crew today. And I think there's a couple of quarterbacks that need to play. We're going to start with Eli Manning. Eli's got to play. It's his last year. He lost all his receivers. They're bringing in guys off the scrap heap. Eli's got to get work with them. And if Eli gets injured, and I don't think he will, it's preseason football, at least you know that he was out there trying to get in a rhythm. Another guy, Derek Carr. We were talking about it. Alvin's a Raider fan. We look at this. We talk about it. When you look at this team, Derek Carr's got Antonio Brown. If Antonio Brown doesn't hook up with Derek Carr in the preseason once or twice, the Raiders open up against Denver and Kansas City, week one and two. I think Carr needs to play more than he's played in the past. And the two guys that shouldn't play at all, really three. We came up with three. You never want to see Tom Brady play. Doesn't need to play. He's going to be 42 on Saturday. Cam Newton's not right. He's a little bit banged up. He's trying to get his arm ready again. And Andrew Luck, who told everybody out loud that he's not right with his ankle and his calf. So I don't need to see those guys play at all. Garrett had a good point. He said, Kyler Murray, how exciting is it going to see the number one pick overall with Arizona get out there and play? He's got to play some preseason games if Arizona wants to be competitive. Let's start with Ron in North Carolina in the jungle. What's happening, Ron? Thanks for calling.
Hey, JT, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Actually, I'm from Northern California, but that's okay. Anyway, last time I spoke with you was the day after Barry Sanders retired, and hearing you on the jungle was, outstanding. Jim Rome, you and Scotty Farrell are my favorites. But anyway, I had some Raiders season tickets from 96 through 06, and, at first, I used to get frustrated paying for them preseason games and not really getting to see a lot of the guys play. However, now I kind of agree with you, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, guys like that probably don't need to really play much. But a lot of the guys, Carr, obviously, a lot of the names you just named do need to play. But what I did with my tickets, instead of being upset about spending the money on them two home games, and I was on a cab driver's salary at the time, so mediocre money, I would give those tickets to people that were never fortunate enough to be able to go so they could experience it.
That's what I do with my preseason tickets. I have them. Thanks for the call up in Oakland. And you give them to people that don't get a chance to go to regular season games. Again, every one of these stadiums should be sold out with kids who want to go to a game and they get free tickets, or season ticket holders donate them. I agree with that 100%. When we get back to who should play, you got a guy like Derek Carr who's got Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams. Those are two elite receivers. They're going to get a lot of timing down in Napa behind the Marriott on the practice field. That isn't a practice game. That's not what you want to see. And Carr's going to play. They're going to have a practice session coming up with the Rams there. But preseason, to me, is important to get your quarterback on the same page so he can get off to a good start. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that haven't played since the end of December, and they need the preseason to get rolling. Kyle's in Calgary, our Canadian brothers to the north. Hello, Kyle. You're in the jungle.
Hi, how are you?
Real good, thanks.
Good, yeah. So going back to your point, I'm excited to see Eli play one more time. I mean, it's been a hard couple of seasons for him to watch. I mean, he's had a great legacy, but I think he's done. I think he'll be happy to finish up this year. And going back to the preseason, unless you're Tom Brady and it's just another day at the office going into a 13 win season start, or the guys like that, they should be playing every single preseason to work out the kinks until they start getting the W's on the board, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you. Thanks for calling in. I mean, Tom Brady's different because Tom Brady is the only player in all of football that has no competition in the regular season, right? Tom Brady's the only guy that you know in any sport. Look at the NBA with LeBron and Anthony Davis. Now you have Paul George and Kawhi. Competition everywhere in the NBA. Baseball, we just talked about the Astros and the Yankees. The only in North America that has no competition is Tom Brady until the AFC Championship game. Everybody else has got to get out there and get some reps in. Everybody else has got to find a way to get better. And a lot of people are just scared to death of injuries. If you're going to get injured, getting injured in a preseason game doesn't happen at the level you think. You know where everybody gets hurt? In practice. They get hurt this week because camp's just open. And now they're getting pushed, and coaches are pushing players in camp with some padded practices, running them hard, trying to get them into shape. This is the week you really got to hope that your quarterback doesn't pull something or your wide receiver doesn't have a knee problem. Look at what happened with A.J. Green. You want to keep your guys healthy this time of year, but I don't think guys are going to get hurt in the preseason. And how much should they play? All I'm talking about is 2 to 3 series. It used to be one series and then you're out. And then the third preseason game, They call it the dress rehearsal, where quarterbacks play into the second half with the simulation of halftime and making adjustments. They play a series in the third quarter, and then they don't even play in that fourth preseason game. And I will stand by that. I don't think you have to play in the fourth preseason game, but you should be playing in the first, second, or third if you're trying to turn your team around. Aaron in Portland, thanks for waiting. You're up next. Okay, we'll get him next. 800-636-8686 as we continue on. John Paul Morosi is going to join us next segment as we take a look at all of these Hall of Fame quarterbacks from yesterday. Oh, we didn't get to Donovan McNabb. This is good. Andy Reid is trying to push Donovan McNabb into the Hall of Fame. Listen to the sound from Donovan's former head coach.
I'm his biggest fan, and so I was there. I know he belongs there. I mean, you talk about the great players in the National Football League, five championship games, a Super Bowl, all those things. Good football player, man. Great football player, and did some things that weren't being done at that particular time in a lot of areas. But I think the world of him. Yeah.
Interesting conversation on that. If you want to react to Andy Reid on Donovan McNabb, as we went through all the Hall of Famers who are playing now, there's 9 Hall of Fame quarterbacks, in my opinion, playing now, including Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. But Donovan McNabb, 37,276 yards, 1 Super Bowl appearance, 4 championship games where he was 1-3. Is that good enough for the Hall of Fame? He's got the yardage, if you compare him to Aikman. He's got all those appearances in the playoffs. He carried his team to the postseason, but he doesn't have a winning legacy. I interviewed Donovan McNabb about this years ago, and I always thought that McNabb should have got out of Philadelphia. But the reason he didn't leave Philadelphia was they're always competitive. They're always making a run towards the Super Bowl, at least in the NFC Championship game. But as we were talking pre-show here, we put McNabb right in the same boat with a guy who has better stats than him, Joe Flacco. We still in the jungle go back to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is the guy now. You always have that. Who's the guy that you have to debate the most for the Hall of Fame? It's Joe Flacco. He's going to have 45,000 yards when it's all said and done. He's got a Super Bowl. He's got 212 touchdowns. He's got much better stats than Donovan McNabb. So for those who say McNabb's that guy who's on the fence, he really isn't. It's Joe Flacco as the next guy who can get there and get over the hump. 800-636-8686 is the number. Also, we'll talk about the Hall of Famers who are getting in this class coming up this weekend in Canton, Ohio, from my friend Gil Brandt, Tony Gonzalez. We'll go through the players and their legacy coming up here in the second hour of the show. Also, Tom Looney, my longtime partner on the radio, is going to come in studio here in the 11 o'clock hour Pacific time. Looking forward to having him in studio. And we're going to get more into everything that's happening here with the trade deadline yesterday, as Astro fans are feeling pretty cocky right now. And I know that H-Town and the history of the jungle in Houston, I've been to Houston many times. I know a lot of Astro fans right now are chirping about going out and getting Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke puts them over the top, I believe, in the American League to get to the championship game. But will that get them into the World Series? Will the Astros be head and shoulders better than the Yankees when they get there? I'll tell you, Zach Greinke is not going to make the Yankees scared anytime soon. JT, how dare you? The Astros did not overspend. Sign people getting food at Five Guys. That's true in West L.A. And San Francisco coming in on Twitter at JT the Brick, saving Madison Bumgarner. I thought that was a great move for those loyal fans in San Francisco to keep a player like that in Bruce Bochy's last season. So even if they don't make it to the postseason, Bumgarner and Bochy could go out together. I know a lot of Giant fans really happy about not moving Mad Bum yesterday. And Dodger fans, as I sit here in Southern California today, are the Dodgers nervous that they don't have the bullpen to go through the National League? We'll talk about that with John Paul Morosi coming up. 800-636-8686 at JT the Brick on Twitter and on Facebook. Next hour, more on the baseball trade deadline, and we'll get into the NFL. The preseason is here. It starts in Canton, Ohio later on tonight. Are you a fan of the preseason, or would you like to see Roger Goodell scrap it to 2 games? We'll stay with that. Live from Southern California, the Jim Rome Show. I'm JT the Brick.
Good night now.